Okay, we're gonna do one more. Yeah!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the most bitchin' show on the internet. Welcome to part one of our totally bitchin' 80s special. Now, this was supposed to be together, but something came up, and we couldn't get the recording schedule to work out, but this is part one with a very special guest, our 80s expert, because he lived it. We are being joined by Ed Souter from Burning Willow Press. If you haven't checked out all of their stuff, check out burningwillowpressllc.com. Also, you can buy their books in our store, ShopTBK, tbkmagazine.com/shoptbk. And right after the break, we are going to jump in our DeLorean and take a ride back to 1980, the start of MTV, music, movies, television, fads, and a whole lot more. Right after the break, it's part one of the Totally Bitchin' 80s Show with special guest, Ed Souter. Shirts, books, mugs, squirrels, shop TBK, tbkmagazine.com/shoptbk. Buy our shit. And we're back here on the Totally Bitchin' 80s Show 2 Electric Fucking Boogaloo. And joining me right now, because we had to take a break from the normal insanity, joining me right now is, well, he's bringing his own insanity. He's our official 1980s to 89 expert. He is the sexiest publisher alive, Ed Souter from Burning Willow Press. What up?
What's up? I don't know about sexiest publisher alive. I've seen much better looking in other companies, and even in my own, because, you know, Kendra's a lot hotter than I am.
Yes, but she could not be sexiest man alive. She can't be sexiest man in publishing, and if she can, there's a lot of stuff we're not knowing.
Yeah, especially me. I sleep with her. So, yeah. Okay. Yeah, being an 80s expert, the only thing that even qualifies me for that is the fact that I lived through it.
Good enough.
As a teenager, going to concerts, getting in trouble, trying pot, you know, sex, the whole nine yards.
All at the same time.
Drugs, rock and roll, hell yeah.
Do you know who was named Sexiest Man Alive in the 80s, by the way?
It was me.
Sean Connery.
Of course.
JFK Jr.
I can see that.
Harry Hamlin.
That I don't understand.
L.A. Law's Harry Hamlin. Mark Hammon. Or Mark Harmon.
I probably see that, too.
He's better looking now.
Well, my wife tells me all the time that men look better as they age. So, I tell her that's, you know, because our testosterone doesn't slow down as fast as your estrogen does. And she's like, yeah, right, whatever. She thinks I'm stupid sometimes, which she's probably right. But
Mark Harmon's the only one who's gotten better looking.
That's because NCIS is treating him really good.
And the other one is Mel Gibson. And we know what has happened to him.
Well, I mean, Mel Gibson's probably still a really good-looking man. I haven't seen him in probably 8 or 10 years since he went anti-Semite on everybody.
It looks like he just escaped Thunderdome. He does not look good
he's
now.
He's reliving the 80s more.
he's going through his Coke phase right now, I bet. Dear God.
Awesome. So he's reliving the 80s for us. This is great. Now all we need is Tina Turner to get up there and start cracking whips.
You know what? I don't think I've ever seen that movie. I know I've seen one of them, but I haven't seen all of them.
You are missing out. It is not bad. The first one was probably, you know, probably always going to be my favorite, but The Road Warrior, Mad Max, and Beyond Thunderdome, and even the new one that they just released.
I didn't like the new one at all.
But there's so much mechanically wrong with that car he's driving around that we just won't even go into that, because everybody who knows who I am know that I spent the better part of my adult life as an automotive technician that used to build race cars and shit. So, I mean, it's, yeah, we won't go there.
So what you're telling me is the best car from anything 80s is Kit.
Kit was scientifically impossible, too.
But still awesome.
The A-Team van. Norm Jers would be creaming the team right now. The A-Team van.
I guess
van.
The A-Team was the 80s. I've always classified that show as a 70s show.
No, it came out in the 80s.
See? That tells you a lot right there. I forget that Mr. T was at the height of his popularity in like 84, 85. So yeah, that makes sense. I pity the fool. Good grief.
Hell, he beat the shit out of Rocky, man.
Who didn't beat the shit out of Rocky?
Well, Rocky came back.
This is true, but I mean, who didn't beat the shit? The only one that didn't is the Russian.
That was a good fight.
And Rocky V beat the piss out of everybody watching it. That's a bad movie. I guess
is the one with Tommy the Machine Gun in
yes.
it?
Yes.
I like the new ones, man. The new one, Creed. And,
I haven't seen the new one. I haven't seen Creed.
Creed is good. Creed is really good. It brings it up to today's life. He doesn't want to box anymore. He doesn't want to do anything with it.
So it's Rocky V.
No. I mean, he actually takes takes Apollo Creed's illegitimate son and turns him into a boxer because he needs somebody to train him.
I might go and watch it, but it does sound like the premise to Rocky V.
No, it's much better than that. I mean, it really is.
I mean, it doesn't take much. I think a fart in a church is better than Rocky V.
Yeah, probably.
There's not. Oh, that might be the worst sports movie of all time.
Air Bud.
Okay, I like that movie. Shut up. What's the one about the monkey playing basketball?
No, it's the one about the fucking golden retriever.
No, I know that. I actually like that movie.
Well, I couldn't get into it.
Yeah. So, favorite thing from the 80s. What is something you wish they'd bring back? Right off the top of your head. Shrinky Dinks.
No, Shrinky. No. God, no. Something I wish they still had now. I'd love to see a remake of Airwolf.
Everyone who's seen that show loved that show.
Yes. I mean, it was just badass helicopter. Took out fucking F-16s and shit.
See, I've never seen an
episode.
And
they stole it. That's what makes it so great. They fucking stole it and nobody could find it.
Huh. Yeah, I never went out of my way to... It's out there. I know I can find it. I just have not gone out of my way yet to watch it.
I have it on digital. I should probably give you a copy.
I agree. I know everyone said it's one of the best shows of the 80s, and I'm going, I never heard of it until I moved to Arkansas.
Yeah, it was great. It was real good. Let's see, what else could they bring back from the 80s? Ronald Reagan.
Well, wait a minute. Reaganomics. Trickle-down economics is not good. Let's just...
Okay, look. We had, you know, a lot of people say that, and I'm going to probably get hate mail for this. Sorry about this.
Send all your hate mail to.
Send all your hate mail to tbkmagazine.com.
Yes.
At
Sharon at tbkmagazine.
A lot of people my age remember Reagan as being a great president, and a lot of people a little older than me think he was a great president. But what we don't realize is that, yes, we had a great economy in the 80s. But what else did the United States produce in the 80s?
The Just Say No campaign?
The fucking goddamn computer and the microchip. Of course we had a great economy. Silicon Valley was involved.
Oh, the 80s was a great time.
Hell yeah. Let's see. What else should they bring back from the 80s?
Garbage Pail Kids.
Garbage Pail Kids would be awesome. Yeah.
I have a collection of those cards.
I have some somewhere.
They are not worth crap, but... They're
not worth a damn, but I've still got some somewhere.
My mom bought, I guess what I found like 2 weeks ago, the fucking Cabbage Patch doll my mom bought me.
I never got a Cabbage Patch doll. I was too old for that. I know what we can bring back from the 80s. My 17-year-old body. I'd love to have that back because I was in great shape, weighed like 185 pounds. I could bench almost 350. I was in great shape.
What can you bench now?
Maybe 4 or 5
pounds.
Yeah, whatever a six-pack weighs.
I just see you now pressing up like a small butterball turkey.
Yeah, I have to admit. I mean, well, I can't say that because I did install Windows yesterday in the house. So
not to be confused with the web.
yeah.
developing
they,
thing.
They weren't light either. I had to do it by myself. It was hard. I don't know. Maybe, I don't know, 125 maybe. I haven't lifted weights in a long time. I usually go to the gym, just get on the treadmill and fuck around.
That's what everyone does, I swear. Yeah. So 80s, okay, so one of the things I asked everyone, and we've talked about this a little already, but we haven't talked about this with you, is 80s movies. We talked a little bit, but everyone, the general consensus seems to be everyone's favorite 80s movie was Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters was awesome. I'm more of a Goonies fan, though.
Aw, the Goonies. I love
the reason
movie.
Why is because these were kids.
Oh, yeah.
They were kids fucking doing this shit, man. When I was a kid, I was the same age as Corey. I'm the same age as Corey Feldman. How about that shit? This was a kid my age doing this incredible shit. And he had a mouth on him, which I was like, I would get my ass beat if I talked like that around my parents. But, I mean, he was funny. And I'm thinking, shit, this is awesome. What else? You know, what else can we bring back from the 80s? I'm sure more than likely Back to the Future was great.
Okay, so I'm the weird one out of this group. I enjoyed the third one the best, which came out in 90.
Put it all together for us.
I love the other two, but the 90s, the one where they go back in the Wild West is the best one.
Well, it put it all together. And you know, that Doc Brown was just phenomenal.
But I guess any movie where you get to hit on your mom's a little weird, so.
Yeah.
Have you seen the meme going around? What would happen if Michael J. Fox if he would have actually slept with his mom?
Oh God.
It is hilarious. Like he starts to erase himself. It is funny as shit.
I'll tell you something when you bring back from the 80s. Michael Keaton is Batman.
I read a list. Michael Keaton's everyone's general consensus favorite Batman. It's always him or Adam West.
Of course, Adam West, but he was 60, so he doesn't count.
Yeah, no. But I got to agree with you. And I normally would argue this, but I went back and watched the Michael Keaton Batmans finally again. And I'm like, he was so damn good.
Yeah. Phenomenal actor.
I'll be honest with you, though. I can't name anything else he's done outside that Birdman.
I didn't really care for that.
It's a weird
He did a lot of dramatic roles, too. So, I mean, Batman was not his best role. He did a lot of other roles.
What did he in Field of Dreams? Was that him?
No, that was Kevin Costner.
Oh, he was in Beetlejuice. Good God.
Yes. Duh.
There's an 80s movie.
Yeah.
God. Tim Burton came up to life in the 80s. Oh.
We can take him out. I know I'm going to get hate mail probably from Sharon.
Send all your hate mail to Sharon at tbkmagazine.com.
I can't stand Tim Burton.
I'm with you. I still haven't figured out the appeal of Tim Burton.
I understand he wants everything to be dark and mysterious and shit. But dude, there's more than two actors and actresses out there. There's more than just Johnny Depp and your wife. I'm
Ex-wife.
Sorry. There's other people out there.
What movies did he make in the 80s? Here we go.
Batman.
And Beetlejuice.
Beetlejuice.
I think that's it.
No, I think he did a few others. I just don't remember.
I'm looking at his directing credits.
There you go. I know you're on IMDb now.
Oh, yeah. That's like one of my favorite websites. It's always just programmed in. Pee-wee's Big Adventure? What the hell?
He made that?
Yeah, apparently. That might be his best movie.
It might be.
Now that I'm... Oh, I'm going to get hate, man. She is... Look, for anybody... This is going on... Before we record the main with everyone trying 80s foods and stuff. And
I wish I could be in the studio with you guys.
Oh God. Tonight's going to be hilarious. But I will say this. When I look at her and say Pee-wee's Big Adventure is Tim Burton's best movie,
Sharon's going to lose it.
Oh, the look on her face is going to be damn priceless.
You better take a picture and send it to me. I don't care if I'm driving or not.
I might live stream that on Facebook and just be like, all right, so we're live and I'm going to say something to piss off Sharon.
Because she thinks that Nightmare Before Christmas is.
I don't think she does. I think she thinks there's a better Tim Burton movie out there.
Really?
Yeah, I think. Okay, so Batman, Beetlejuice, Pee-wee's Big Adventure and a TV movie, Hansel and Gretel.
God, he made that? No wonder why it sucked.
I know nothing of the made-for-TV movie.
You know, I watched it. That's the only reason I know. I forget. I didn't realize that was him. Okay. You know, it's kind of like there's two directors that... Now, if Tim Burton's listening to this. If you want to direct something for me, I'd be happy to let you do it.
If Tim Burton's listening to this, we have done something correct.
Yeah, but the other one that I don't really like as a director is M. Night Shyamalan.
Did he even... I don't think he was around in the 80s, was he?
I don't think he did anything in the 80s, but I'm just talking in general. I don't like either one of them.
All of his stupid, I've got a twist in my movies.
No, it's not even about the twists in the movies. It's about the fact that when you watch the damn movie, there's nothing new from the preview. You get all the best shit in the preview. And you think, this is going to be awesome. And then you get to the movie and you watch it and you're like, well, fuck, that's 2 hours and I'm not going to get back. Kind of like when I watched Jennifer's Body. I was like, well, Megan Fox is in it. That's hot. And that was the only redeeming quality.
I've watched that movie a few times just for that reason.
Yeah.
Steven Spielberg came to rise in the 80s.
He actually came to rise in the 70s.
That's true. But I mean, his biggest movie.
He's a household name because of E.T.
I was going to say, his biggest movie is in the 1980s.
Yeah. E.T.
It's E.T., yeah. You know what? I don't like that movie.
Kendra doesn't either.
I don't know what it is. I never been able to get into it. I've watched it numerous times thinking, okay, maybe there's something wrong with me. Nope.
There is.
Thanks.
There is. Sorry, brother. I love you, but there's something wrong with you.
Not to mention the Indiana Jones movies.
Damn right. More George Lucas / Steven Spielberg stuff.
I love those movies, too.
You know what? Somebody mentioned to me not too long ago, I forget who it was, it might have even been you, that maybe the Indiana Jones saga is Han Solo dreaming while he's in carbonite.
I've seen that around. I've seen that story idea around. I hope it's true. That'd be fantastic.
It would be.
Then you could just tie everything together.
Yeah.
So then I guess his, like, when Kylo stabs him in the movie... the new movie, then it's like his little flashback scene and his life flashes before him, and somehow it's all Indiana Jones, and then you got another movie. Yes.
Well, not only that, but he did Clear and Present Danger. He did, you know, 6 days, 7 nights, or whatever it was, 7 nights, six days. He did, you know, he's been in multiple movies. He's a fantastic actor, and every movie he's in, he does great.
I would say he's the actor of the 80s. Honestly, I don't. I mean, let's see. Raiders, Empire was 1980.
Yeah.
Raiders of the Lost Ark, Blade Runner, Return of the Jedi, Temple of Doom, Working Girl.
That was good.
I don't think I've ever seen the Mosquito Coast or Frantic.
Seen both of them.
Last Crusade. That was his 80s. That's a damn good 80s.
Yeah, it is.
I would put his 80s run against anyone else's. I don't know of any other actor who had a good run in the 80s.
Let's see. Stallone.
Stallone had the Rocky movies.
He also had the Rambo movies.
Didn't they start in the 70s?
No.
No. Well, see, there you go. Again, I don't keep up with Stallone's career after porn.
Well, then you have never kept up with it.
Yeah, Rambo First Blood, 1982. Yep. Holy crap.
Saw that in movie theaters.
Oh, Tango and Cash.
Oh. That was awesome.
Over the Top.
Yep.
Cobra.
Yeah, great car in that one.
Rhinestone.
Yeah.
Apparently, he was also in Staying Alive.
Yep. He had a minor role.
John Travolta had a pretty good 80s, too, though.
Yep, John Travolta did. But John Travolta did a lot of Look Who's Talking movies, which is what actually reversed his career, because... he was doing some really stupid shit that wasn't getting him any recognition. So he did Look Who's Talking, and it started spiraling back up. And then he said, this is one thing, I read this somewhere. I'm not sure where, but I read this somewhere, and it said he took an acting class in the 80s. After he'd already made movies, he went and took an acting class. And after that, he did stuff like Phenomenon. He did Michael. He did Broken Arrow. So, I mean...
yeah, because, I mean, Look Who's Talking came out in 89.
Right.
And then before that, I mean, Staying Alive and Urban Cowboy.
Right.
Which Urban Cowboy is not that great.
he said he had to go and learn how to act. Because he did Grease, too, and he said he was crapping that.
Oh, Grease.
Man.
There's an 80s movie. Do you know that I have actually found someone who enjoys Grease, too?
It's got to be Sharon.
It's not. This has become a running gag on this show, I think. It's actually one of Ashley's family members who knows every song to Grease, too.
Please tell me it's not Christy. I like her.
No, it's not. It's not.
Okay.
It's her sister, actually.
Okay.
But yeah, no, she knows every line and song to Grease 2. And we've made fun of it for the last two episodes.
I'm going to let you in on a little secret that I don't tell a lot of people. I know every fucking line to Dirty Dancing. And it's not by
choice. I've had the time of my life.
It's not by choice. I'm going to get reamed for this. When I was a teenager living in Atlanta, Georgia, there was a girl that lived down the road that I really, really liked who forced me to watch that fucking movie with her every day.
I'm putting that in quotes, forced.
It was forced. Every day for an entire summer.
That's a lot of times to watch that movie.
Yeah, I know that movie inside and out. So when I moved to South Carolina from Georgia, I was like, finally, I'm away from that shit. Nope, my little sister discovered it.
So no one's putting Baby in the Corner around you.
If Baby's a 1967 Impala from Supernatural, nope. Put it in the corner of the garage.
I always get this question, and I feel like this is a good nerd debate question. Okay. Since you didn't enjoy Dirty Dancing, did you enjoy Footloose?
Actually, I did.
So would you say Footloose is the better movie?
No, I wouldn't.
What?
No, I wouldn't, because there's differences in them. I enjoyed Footloose because of Kevin Bacon, mainly, because he was just badass. Whereas Johnny, Patrick Swayze's character in Dirty Dancing, was a badass. He had a lot of the same character references that I tried to live up to as well. He took responsibility for his friend getting pregnant, even though it was not him that got her pregnant. He took care of it. He had respect. He had a badass car. He may have been a greaser or whatever they called him back in the 50s, but he was raised right, and you could tell. He lived his life by a certain code. So where Kevin Bacon was he just wanted to rebel. He's like, why can't we fucking dance? Why can't we, play music after a certain hour? Why can't we do this? Why can't we have rock and roll? You know, he just rebelled against the establishment because, one, it wasn't right, but it was an 80s movie, you know?
Because Lord Farquaad said no.
Exactly. The Breakfast Club, 80s movie.
Oh, my God. That's probably
the quintessential John Hughes movie.
You cannot talk about the 80s without talking any of the John Hughes movies because, okay, everyone, Breakfast Club seems to be everyone's general consensus favorite.
Because we were all, everything that was in that, if you were a teenager in the 80s like I was, you were every bit associated with every single one of those kids that were in detention that day, including the janitor and the principal. Later on.
So if you had to compare yourself to anyone of the Breakfast Club, who is it?
Well, back then, I was more like Emilio Estevez's character.
Who would you say?
A bit of a jock.
Uh-huh.
But I was also Brainy, so Anthony Michael Hall's character. But I also associated a lot with the criminal. So, every one of us could associate with all of the characters. That was before we were called emo or goth or some stupid shit like that. Give it a fucking label.
I've got a question to ask you, and I hope you'll do this for me. When you, next time you see your wife, ask her which one of the Breakfast Club she is.
I can tell you right now, she's a basket case.
She's Ally Sheedy. Yeah, I know. That's what I was sitting there thinking. I'm like, she's going to say she's the Ally Sheedy character.
Yep. So she's not a princess. So that's out. she's...
Unless she says she's Emilio Estevez, and then I lose it.
She won't say that. unless it comes to shooting her gun, she's more accurate than I am, which is scary.
Holy
God. But she's also got a lighter gun, smaller, you know. Mine's a heavier gun. It shoots a much bigger bullet, makes a bigger loud bang.
So there's another one. What about Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
Boom, boom. Yeah, love that absolutely.
Movie. Life moves pretty fast if you don't stop and look around once in a while. I love that movie.
Maybe they're just a close family. Yeah, maybe.
Do you think all these movies are related in somehow? They're all in like in the same city or some crap?
Well, they all were.
See, I didn't know that. I know I've seen them all.
All the John Hughes movies took place in a certain, in a city that did not exist in Indiana.
Oh, see? It's kind of like the John Waters films and every one of them taking place in Baltimore for some reason.
Right.
But my personal favorite John Hughes movie is Weird Science.
Mine too. Kelly the Brock is hot.
Understatement. Under damn state. I love that movie.
That's an understatement saying she's hot. My God.
That is the most underrated 80s comedy outside maybe Revenge of the Nerds and Porky's. That anyone, like Porky's 2. Let me rephrase that.
Porky's was good. Porky's 2 sucked.
I enjoyed, was it Porky's 2 or, it might have been 3. I enjoyed one of the sequels.
Check out Hard Bodies 1 and 2.
Oh God, I've seen those.
Yeah.
Yeah, no,
I can't remember what the little Egyptian girl's name was in Hard Bodies 2, but I do remember that Marcy Darcy's husband.
Marcy Darcy's husband, thank you.
From Married with Children.
Which one?
Her second husband.
Okay, thank you.
Was in it as the main character.
In the first one or the second one?
In both. He was in the first one and second one.
I was just looking at the second one.
Ted McGinley is his name,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, it's Ted McGinley. There's a name I hadn't heard in a long time. Holy crap.
Because when he showed up on Married with Children, I was like, holy shit. It's what's his name from Hard Bodies. My brother about lost it. He was sitting there drinking a Coke. Dr. Pepper, and he spewed it all over the kitchen table. He's like, you're shitting me. I go, no, man. He's right there.
Not to mention Weird Science also gave us Robert Downey Jr.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did.
No, and, I mean, outside of Anthony Michael Hall, no one else from that movie actually went on to make it big. And Kelly LeBrock
did a couple of movies after that. She did Steven Seagal's Hard to Kill, where that's where she met him, married him, and ended up divorcing him later on.
She really didn't do anything after that, did she?
No, not really.
She's
probably living off of alimony checks.
Probably.
That's why he keeps making crappy movies now. Jean-Claude Van Damme had a hell of an 80s.
Oh, God. You know, I don't care for his acting very much, though.
I don't either. But back in the 80s, it'd be hard to come up to him and say, you're a piss-poor actor. Because
no, no
he'd
joke.
Fuck you up.
Didn't Chuck Norris have a damn good 80s as well?
Yeah, Missing in Action movies, for one. He did Delta Force. He did he did a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, like those typical action movies where you know the entire movie before you sit down and watch it.
Chuck Norris is going to kick somebody's ass.
Yep. Possibly with his foot or with a gun.
More than likely with his foot. If he doesn't do at least 3 roundhouses in every movie, it's not a Chuck Norris movie.
Oh, I'm getting a bunch of 80s messages right now in general.
Yeah.
Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Oh, that's great.
That is probably the
most sexist cartoon out there.
Oh my God. I have never had a boner. I've never had a boner from a cartoon until that one.
Yeah, me neither. Jessica Rabbit was awesome.
Plus, I feel that movie, someone sold their soul to Satan.
I think so.
Because Disney and Warner Brothers being together on the same screen at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody had to sell their soul. Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Jeff Spicoli. I actually ordered, because I saw that movie in the 80s, I actually ordered a pizza and had it delivered to my high school.
Of course you did.
What? I did.
And how did that go for you?
I was sitting in history and pizza dude knocked on the damn door. I got up, answered the door, and my teacher was like, what is going on? I said, well, I ordered a pizza because I didn't get lunch. Okay.
And they didn't care. Our teachers were pissed.
Well, they cared. They said, don't do it again. I said, well, I didn't get the chance to have lunch. So
they didn't see, our teachers would have been like, nope, I'm taking that.
I was a football player, man. I got away with all kinds of shit.
All right, let's see what other 80s. Oh, okay, so another general consensus favorite by everybody, and what I feel like might be the best all-around movie of comedy, drama, action, everything, is The Princess Bride.
Agreed. Or Legend.
Oh, I'm still going to go with The Princess Bride.
Well, yeah, because of David Bowie, but, I mean, Legend was just fantastic.
You know what else came out?
Even though Tom Cruise was in it, it was still fantastic.
Well, that brings up Top Gun.
Yeah.
So.
Risky Business.
Oh, gee. Just tick those old records off the shelf. You tried it, right?
What? Sliding across the floor myself?
Yes,
I did.
Did you fall like every other man in America did at that time?
No, I did not, because I was smart enough to put soap on the floor.
I'll give you one more 80s movie, and then we'll go to music and anything else. Did you know A Christmas Story came out in 1983?
Yes, I did. And I will watch it back to back to back to back to back every Christmas until I die.
There is a theater in Batesville that is showing it on the big screen again.
Oh.
And I'm so stoked that they're showing all of them.
Road trip.
Oh, God. Did you see the pictures from last year?
No, I did not.
That's okay. Out of all the movies I've ever seen on the big screen, that is one I feel like everyone needs to see on the big screen.
I agree. You should try out, kid.
All right, so let's move on to the typical music portion. As long as this doesn't turn into karaoke, I think we're all right.
Oh, God. Some of the music in the 80s was just horrible. And now kids today think, oh, it's so cool. No, it's not. It wasn't cool when it came out either.
See, I disagree. I love 80s music. Shut up.
You're much younger than I am, though.
There was only one instrument from the 80s.
Yeah, the synthesizer.
Damn right.
And then you had the air synthesizer, where people would literally get on stage and pretend like they had one, and, you know, they didn't. But anyway, which genre are we going with first?
First of all, the greatest musical instrument came out of the 1980s that wasn't the synthesizer, the fucking guitar.
Yes, that's the other one I was getting ready to say. The guitar was the next one.
If you could play a guitar.
You were not a band if you didn't have a guitar player or a synthesizer player.
Oh, my God. You want to start with
hard rock?
Let's start with rock.
Start with what?
Let's start with rock music.
Rock music?
Yeah.
Okay.
Shoot. I'm looking up some bands right now.
Okay. The what? Well, anybody who knows me knows I'm a huge Ozzy Osbourne fan. Always have been, always will be. So, yes, they gave us Ozzy Osbourne minus Black Sabbath, which in my book was much better.
Agreed.
Because the writing got incredibly good. Of course, the first album was all about getting cut from Black Sabbath and cocaine, but it also gave us Randy Rhoads on lead guitar. So that was awesome. Ozzy had a hell of an 80s. I mean, in 1986, I think it was, he was being sued because some kid took his life after listening to Suicide Solution.
Kind of okay, like
you
weak, life after
you
weak-minded
piece of shit. Why the fuck did you do that? You can't blame a song for that. That song's about Ozzy's dealings with trying to commit suicide. Bon Scott from AC/DC committing suicide by drinking himself to death. That's what the song was actually about. This person's parents took and switched it around and found a lawyer who would go after Ozzy for it. He was thrown out of court, but it happened.
There's so many good albums that came out in the 80s. Holy crap.
Metallica was born in the 80s. Megadeth was born in the 80s. Huey Lewis and the News came out in the 80s.
Well, there's one I wasn't expecting.
Well, yeah. I mean, they were considered rock and roll back then.
rock and roll.
They still are to me because I loved them. I knew all their songs, could sing them, everything.
Van Halen. Van Halen to me had the best 80s. I don't know. I might be wrong.
1984 was one of their best albums ever.
Van Halen had a hell of an 80s. Journey. Freaking
Who?
Journey.
Journey. Escape album was great.
That's exactly what I was looking at right now.
Don't Stop Believing.
That's a great album. Let's see. Who else is on that? Foreigner?
Foreigner had a great 80s. Boston did really well. Who else?
See, when you go to that 80s, like I automatically start thinking of this, like the synthesizer pop music, but I forget how much of the rock genre developed in the damn 80s.
Yeah. I mean, that's where hair metal came from. They started in the late 80s. We got Guns N' Roses. We got L.A. Guns. We ended up with Poison in the late 80s.
Bon Jovi.
Aerosmith got really huge in the 80s. They were already coming around. They were already doing well in the 70s, but they got huge with Permanent Vacation. I mean, I saw them 3 times. Def Leppard, for Christ's sake.
I think if any drummer wants to, if anybody wants to be a drummer, they just need to study the drummer of Def Leppard.
Well, now you can't compare that.
The dude's amazing, though.
He's not that fucking amazing. He's got an electric drum set. He programs it for the song.
Oh, see, I didn't know that.
Yeah. He's not playing a regular drum set with one arm. You can't do it. He's got a drum set that's been reprogrammed to handle what his right arm used to do with his right foot.
Huh. I did not know that.
So, basically, it's a computer-engineered model of what he used to play, which is great. It's awesome, the fact that he didn't give up, because they were thinking about splitting the band up when he lost his arm. He goes, why? I figure I lost my right arm, so I'll use my right foot. I'm like, that's fucking ingenious.
That is. My favorite album from the 80s, Toto's 4.
Oh, fuck yeah.
I love Africa. That song got me started on my whole 80s kick as a kid. Like, that was it. That was it. Let's see, what else have we got? I'm looking through all of them. Billy Idol.
Survivor made it big because of Rocky.
Oh, God, I love that song, too. You know who I don't care from the 80s? Bruce Springsteen.
Born in the USA was a very good album. But Bruce Springsteen speaks to the working class, you know, the middle class, lower or upper lower class people. And that's who he speaks to. He doesn't speak to the billionaires, even though he is one.
I would like to know how Peter Gabriel made the list of rock albums, but whatever.
I can tell you how. Sledgehammer.
That's not the album they have on here.
Which album they have on there?
So?
That's interesting.
Oh, Sledgehammer's off that. All right. I don't know. Like, I'm not the
80s gave us a band called The Cure.
That's true.
Everybody thinks that Nirvana was the first grunge band. Have you ever fucking seen The Cure?
Oh, they were the first. Yeah.
Before they became what's called emo, they were the first grunge band in my book. And Soundgarden should have got that claim long before Nirvana did. Now we're going in the 90s, so we need to get back on track.
Well, rewind. So the rock genre had a huge metamorphosis in the 80s.
It did. Scorpions.
Oh, God. Here I am.
Sound Music Peace Festival. Shit. Motley Crue. I mean,
the hair band era is probably one of the best eras in rock.
I agree. 100%. I've got all that shit programmed into my computer.
I do as well. However, in the metamorphosis of the rock, another genre was born in the 80s. I do believe it's the 80s. It might be 1979.
Are we talking about Spandau Ballet?
No, we're talking about rap.
Yes, rap was big in the 80s. And, you know, I lived in Detroit for a long time. So, you know, old school rap, not this shit that they call rap now. If you get hate mail for this, I'm sorry. Fucking killing people and shooting people up is not what rap was born from.
Rap was born on the Sugar Hill Gang's Rapper's Delight in 1980, and one of my favorite rap songs ever. And still to this day, or 1979, but still to this day, one of my one of the greatest rap albums ever. I love Sugar.
Agreed.
But I mean, from the 80s, we got, well, who did we get from the Run DMC, which is one of my favorite rap groups ever.
Right there. You ended up with Sir Mix-a-Lot. You had Run DMC. You had,
I'm not counting Vanilla Ice, who did start in 1989. There's so many. LL Cool J, Will Smith.
Well, yeah, well, parents just don't understand. I mean, the Fresh Prince and DJ Jazzy Jeff, there were so many great ones out there. My mind is going blank right now. Who?
Public Enemy?
Yes. NWA.
That was 90s.
Was it really?
Yep.
They were towards the end of the 80s into the 90s. It all blurs together.
There's this that part of music where you just go, what year is that from? And I'm looking right now. I think that pretty much, I mean, oh, NWA Straight Outta Compton was 1988. You were right.
Aha.
I'll throw in another one. I know no
Eazy-E.
One.
Eazy-E.
Eazy-E. That was
Eazy-E.
Ice-T.
Boys in the Hood.
I'll throw out one. I will not say Vanilla Ice. I don't care how many times you throw that in my face, computer. But I do enjoy the Beastie Boys.
Beastie Boys in their early years were great. When they did Sabotage, I could have choked all three of them.
I actually like that album. Come on.
I couldn't. I was like, you guys need to go back to your roots, man. Because Brass Monkey was fucking awesome.
Brass Monkey was a ringtone. My very first ringtone ever on a cell phone.
Let's see.
Bismarcky.
License to Ill was the best album they ever created.
That's the one from 86?
God, I don't know. 86, I think.
86, 88, somewhere in that area.
Yeah.
It's a good album.
That's a great album. That pretty much covers rap. Let's move on.
I guess we got to go to that. Is it pop? Is that what you call it?
Pop. Yeah. And it's not like Britney Spears pop. When she was at her height, when she was, you know, still sleeping with Justin Timberlake and lying about it. It was pop music like Tiffany, Debbie Gibson.
I guess it was the debut of bubblegum pop, if you really want to go that far.
Yeah, because, yeah, if you want to think about it like that, but, you know, I had the biggest crush on Tiffany.
Is that the one? I think we're alone now.
Yes.
Yeah.
She was, God, she was awesome. 15 years old, I'm like, 15 years old, I see this redheaded chick that's just really hot. I'm like, oh my God.
Singing in a mall.
Just like, where the fuck is she singing in this mall at? Canada? Why the fuck do I live in Georgia? You know?
Where the fuck is this mall?
Yeah.
And why don't we have a cool pretzel place? Fuck.
Yeah, well, we did, but.
No, we didn't.
You know, so, I mean, but you had Madonna made it really big in the
80s. Oh my God. You can't talk about the 80s unless you talk about Madonna.
Cindy Lauper.
Cindy Lauper. You want me to tell you something? Cindy Lauper might have the best 80s music videos outside Robert Palmer.
I don't know about saying Robert Palmer had great music videos.
I enjoyed his music videos.
I don't know. You might be right because Simply Irresistible was pretty good.
Addicted to Love and Simply Irresistible are so... Okay, so let's just go ahead and say it. They're the same music video.
Yep.
But it's so simple, it's great.
Yep. Just dress all of them up the same.
And dancing in the same way. But it worked.
The girl I was dating when I was 16 years old could dance that dance really well. And she was every bit of 5'11".
Oh, my goodness.
So she was tall and skinny, and she rode horses for, you know, equestrian stuff. And, I mean, she was in great shape, and she could do that dance. She used to do it all the time just to drive me nuts.
I also feel you can't talk about the 80s unless you bring up Michael Jackson.
Of course.
I think everyone owned Beat It.
Yep. My brother bought...
the Thriller album, I mean, yeah.
He bought the Thriller album on vinyl, you know.
I owned it on vinyl.
I bought that one. He bought Thriller. I was like, okay.
That's a great album.
It was. He still got it, I think.
Oh, honestly, that's one of the more expensive albums anyone can buy now.
Well, yeah, it's even better if you've got an original.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Not a repurposed one. Okay. You know, a remastered one.
Not to mention, let's throw in Prince.
Hell yeah, Prince and the Purple Rain was the hell of a damn album.
And a hell of a movie.
I've got it, both.
I haven't seen the movie in years. I used to own it, and then someone stole it. Never let people borrow your good movies. That's my advice to everyone.
I agree with that.
I always ended up... Someone always stole it.
Yeah.
See, I like the one-hit wonders from the 80s the best, though. And I don't understand why. Like, come on, Eileen. I want to know who Eileen is and why do we want to come on her? Like, I...
8675209.
It's 309, but good enough. Tommy Two Tone.
Oh, yeah.
God. Rick Springfield.
He wasn't just a one-hit wonder.
Yeah, but everyone knows him for one hit.
Right. And, you know, Jesse's Girl. And, you know, he had a few things. You know,
Strangers is a great song.
Yeah.
And no one talks about it.
Who else was a one-hit wonder in the 80s?
Men without,
so many.
Men Without Hats or Men With Hats? The Safety Dance? That's a one-hit wonder. It's the first
I feel remember. Like I want to say that's Men at Work.
Is it?
Yeah.
See, I love the song.
No, Men at Work did Land Down Under.
Yeah, they Men Without Hats is the Safety Dance.
Right.
Yeah.
Here's one for you. You need to look up Midnight Oil, Beds Are Burning. That was a one-hit wonder.
I know that song.
It was fucking good.
Oh, my God. I know that song. Oh. You know what? There's so many great songs from the 80s, and then you go back and you look at a few and go, how the hell did people listen to that? I can give you one off the top of my head. I don't know if you'll remember the song. Tarzan Boy.
What is it?
Tarzan Boy, do you remember the song?
Oh, Jesus Christ, yes.
That is the worst 80s song ever.
No, I have to disagree.
What is it?
Xanadu? By Tony Basil.
What is it?
Mickey.
I love Mickey. Come on.
Well,
that's a catchy song. Plus, it had cheerleaders in it.
Well, that, you know, Pat Benatar happened then, too.
I like Pat Benatar.
And Joan Jett's still rocking.
Yeah, Joan Jett's career really took off in the 80s too, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. When she split with the Runaways, she went way out there. But, you know, the other guitarist from that group, the Runaways, made it big in the 80s too. Lita Ford.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yep, she was the lead guitarist for the Runaways.
I learned something new today. This is what this show's about. All 80s. Everywhere. So some of the fads from the 80s. You don't have to talk about that's mostly, you know, crappy things. But would you go back and wish do you wish the 80s would come back now?
So that way all these kids that are out here buying up 80s stuff could be in fashion? Yeah. Sure, why not?
Why not? I did see Jelly Shoes make a comeback a couple of years ago and I just shook my head like, why? Why?
My sister loved them damn things. She had to have a new pair every couple of weeks, though, because it fell apart.
Oh, God. Did you see what the new ones are doing to people?
Breaking them out, what? Causing blisters? I don't know.
They were causing burns and blisters because if it got too hot, it would just mess you up.
Yeah. The old ones did that, too.
Oh, good to know. Good to know. Is there anything else you would like to add about the 80s before we get back to regularly scheduled programming?
Let's see, we covered all the music except country music we didn't cover that.
Islands in the Stream. Is that 80s? I don't know.
That was 80s. That was on Kenny Rogers and
Dolly Parton.
Dolly Parton did that. It was on an album I actually owned.
Juice Newton.
It's The Gambler.
God dang it. Juice Newton's probably my favorite 80s singer then.
Really?
Playing with the Queen of Hearts.
Yeah, I can see that.
Garth Brooks started in Garth Brooks' career popped in the 80s.
It started at the end of the 80s, though.
Yeah, but I mean, at least you can say that it's part of the 80s, though. And he's going to be well-known for the 90s.
I tell you what they should bring back from the 80s. Fucking MTV.
The real MTV, not the bullshit
right,
that's
not
now.
Not this moron television that they got going on now, but real music television.
Yeah, remember the day when the VMAs were actually something to be that was important?
Mm-hmm.
Now it's just constantly bullshit?
Yeah. I saw something the other day about some awards that's going out for the movies of the year for 2017.
Yeah.
And I was like, I've only seen two of them. The rest of them I'd never even heard of.
I don't know how that normally goes.
Broken. I was like, okay. I've seen that one. Yep,
MTV me, was so, and Video Killed the Internet Star, or Internet, Video Killed the Radio Star is the first video ever.
Yeah.
MTV was great. And I mean, honestly, I even enjoyed when they started doing regular shows. Oh, I can't think of the television, the game show. I want to say Singled Out, but I know that's not right.
Singled Out was one of them. But it wasn't the first one. Yeah. I enjoyed watching the Beavis and Butthead on it.
Yeah, but that was the 90s.
Yeah, but still.
Oh, I'm gonna be mad that I don't remember this game show name. It was Remote Control.
Yeah, Remote Control.
I loved Remote Control. So far ahead of its time. And I know the real world started in the 80s.
Unfortunately.
The best reality show also started in the 80s. And something I can watch now and never get tired of.
Which one is that?
Cops.
Yeah, Cops. Yeah.
1988.
There's video proof somewhere in my wife's family of her as a 5 or 6 year old little girl outside singing the Cops song.
How much money would it take to get a hold of this video?
I could probably call her dad.
Because I'm willing to shell out $17 right now.
I'd probably have to pay him more just for him to make me a copy.
I will gladly shell out 22. That's as far as I'll do 22 and I'll buy you lunch.
Oh, well, okay. We might have a deal. I'd end up in divorce court, but there's also, not that this is ever even Hades, but there's also video proof of her out there singing I Want Candy as well.
By Bow Wow Wow. Okay, I'll give you 35 for both videos. She's going to shoot us. I already know what's happening. Is there anything else you want to leave people this thinking about the 80s?
Here's something to remember from the 80s. It brought us people like Paulie Shore, Brendan Fraser, who was also in Weird Science.
Oh, that's right.
And it gave us such talents as, well, obviously, Michael Jackson. Rest in peace. But we also ended up with the beginning stages of boy bands.
Exactly.
And
I actually like Kids on the Block.
I figured you'd ask me a bunch of questions about the 80s.
Well, you know, the thing is like, there's so many questions I could probably ask, and then we'd be doing this for the next 16 hours.
I have no problem with that.
Okay, do you remember, because you know Hot Pockets started in the 80s.
Yep, so did Steak'em.
I did not know that.
I think Pop-Tarts started in the 80s.
I think Pop-Tarts was before the 80s.
It might have been.
Okay, do you ever remember getting the first Hot Pocket when you were younger?
I'm going to be honest with you. I've never had a Hot Pocket until I got married to Kendra.
So we're talking, okay, so within the last few years, you've ate your first Hot Pocket.
Yep.
Okay, so think about this. I figured the formula has not changed from the 1980s. I'm going to assume it was the ham and cheese Hot Pocket.
No, it's actually the pepperoni.
You got the good one. Damn.
Yeah.
Well, what was your first impression of the fucking Hot Pocket?
I wasn't too impressed.
They are disgusting.
They are. Here's something else that, you know, we touched on a little bit of fashion from the 80s.
Oh, God.
But one thing that I forgot all about was, you know, the Sony Walkman was invented in the 80s.
I forget about those things.
Big boom boxes were invented in the 80s.
Boom boxes are awesome. I still have
one of those things that was bigger than my TV.
Do you have a cardboard box that you spun around on as well?
I used to break dance, yes.
Okay, hold up. Hold the damn phone. You used to break dance.
Yes, I did.
I'm not saying this to be mean. I just can't see this.
Not now because I'm fat and missing a leg.
It's not that in general. I just don't think I could even see it then.
I grew up in Detroit, dude. Everybody had to break dance.
You had to break dance for your street cred.
Yeah. You know, we had video games came out in the 80s.
Yeah, that's a, okay. Let's talk about the arcade. Okay, let's talk about this. I know you probably spent many days in an arcade.
Honestly, no.
Oh.
I didn't spend a lot of time in the arcades. I did spend quite a few dollars in the arcades. That was too far for me to ride my bike to.
Favorite video game?
Oh, still to this day, it's Pac-Man.
I love Pac-Man. I suck at it, but I love it. I was really good at Galaga. I would go to an arcade.
I'm still good at Galaga.
I will go to an arcade and I will end up with a high score every time I play it.
Yeah, I can understand that.
We had it at our skating rink, which I think came out in 1981, by the way. And I played the crap out of that every time I went skating. And then by the time we got into high school, I was able to get the high score on it every time. I think I got up to level like 40 or 50 every time, which, I mean, it's kind of impressive. Kinda, because I've seen those. Have you seen the documentaries of the dudes who get really hardcore into Donkey Kong?
Yeah, I've seen stuff like that.
Holy crap. Those guys go for kill screens. There's actually a Netflix documentary about a dude in the 80s who got the high score on a game called Nibbler.
Don't remember this game.
It's okay, think of a steroided version of Snake.
Okay.
Where it's like you have to make a snake go through the Pac-Man game board.
Oh, shit.
And to get the high score, it would take you 2.5 days.
Wow.
And this dude did it. And I'm just sitting there watching this going, what in the hell am I doing with my life? To let you know how weird it got, he actually came home from the 2.5 day binge in the 80s. His mom made him a bowl of mac and cheese. He fell asleep. He woke up 2 days later, ate the mac and cheese, and went back to play Nibbler.
Wow. That's ridiculous. I've never gotten into it that much.
There is now a day named after him in his city.
Miami Vice came out in the 80s. Forgot all about that one.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
The best intro music ever. You should look it up.
Dallas? Are you?
Dallas. No, Miami Vice.
Oh, I like
shit about who shot JR.
JR could have shot JR for all I care.
Right. Miami Vice was just badass because Crockett had a fucking $300,000 Maserati he's driving around in. New York City police officers like, yeah, fuck you, Miami Vice. Where the fuck's my Maserati? You know?
Wearing suits without socks. The weirdest fucking thing I've ever seen.
They wore sunglasses at night. Just like the song.
How many...
Okay, Bill Collins' song in the air of the night was part of that.
How many people joined the police squad to thinking that's what it was going to be like? It had to be quite a few.
Something I still have today, you know, thinking about it, I still have one. I looked over beside my TV, and I've got a Rubik's Cube sitting over there. That was invented in the 80s.
Have you ever solved one?
Yeah.
So I'm
solve it the old-fashioned way. I break the fucker apart.
That's what I was going to say. I'm the asshole who takes the stickers off in places.
Take the stickers off of it. If you turn the top to a 45-degree angle, you can pop the corner out of it, and it'll fall apart.
Oh, I didn't know this.
And then you can put it back together. You got to force that last one back in. My brother bought a book on how to solve the Rubik's Cube, no matter how fucked up it is. He can do it in under 3 minutes. No matter how bad it is.
I don't think I could do it in a week.
Used to take me 3 weeks to fucking damn solve his shit. He could do it in 30 seconds.
Fucking
he wouldn't let me see the book, though.
Mario became a big thing in the 80s as well.
Didn't it give us a Game Boy?
The Game Boy came out in 89.
Yeah.
I love the Game Boy.
There you go. Remember Swatch Watches?
Fuck me. Are those the calculator watches?
No. Swatch watches had like rubber shit on them or something.
I had one of those. I also had one of the fucking calculator watches too.
They were just really, really fucking weird looking. They're made in Swiss. or Switzerland. I know, and they were expensive too for the day. They had like weird ass colors, and they didn't look like a typical watch.
There's so much stuff. There's so much stuff that I don't feel like we're even going to touch the brim.
No, there's a lot. I mean,
and even doing this show, like doing this whole 80s show today, I don't feel like we are going to cut. Like, we've done one, and that was like 3 years ago, and I knew we didn't even scratch the surface. We're not even getting close again, which means we might do another 80s show.
That'd be fun.
Hopefully, it'll work out a little better in this one. For everyone knows, Ed was actually supposed to join us on our 80s panel.
Yeah.
And things happened to where last week we couldn't record, and then we tried to record last night, and the internet was out.
And this was my only day I could do it because I'm driving 4 or 5 hours, and in about 30 minutes I've got to leave for a 4 or 5 hour drive to be at a convention. So anybody listening in, if you came and saw me at the film festival in Ringgold, Georgia, thanks for coming out.
Speaking of which, hype up some Burning Willow stuff before you go.
Oh, where do we start? In 1 week's time, the Starhawk Chronicles are being released from Joseph J. Madden. And that's a science fiction for you all you nerds out there. I'm enjoying it. I finally finished reading it. It's really good. Let's see. Right after that, Terry Allen Denny is back with the Beyond the Veil book that everybody who has read has given it a 5-star preview review. They say this is his best work ever. Coming out in January, right after the first of the year, L. Bachman releases Maxwell Demon, which is the first release for our company. It's a re-release with a new edit, some added-in stuff for the story, new cover. If you own the old one, get the new one. There's some stuff added to it. It's a little more in-depth. And, let me think. I have to pull up my schedule now. Because I've got so much coming out next year, it's hard to keep up with. Oh, there we go. Fiction by Ryan Lieski comes out in January. This dude has got such a twisted mind. It's uncanny how good of a writer he is. The Paranormalist by Kenneth Harmon, and then Jack Minnelli's As Sleepy as Stone. Paranormalist, think Fox Mulder and Dana Scully had a crime-solving baby with Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Nice.
And you get the Paranormalist. He's an FBI agent that only investigates paranormal activities. It's kind of neat. Then As Sleepy as Stone by Jack McNally is about a meteor that lands on Earth, and an older couple finds it. And remember the movie Cocoon?
I do.
And Wilford Brimley?
Yes.
Yeah, it's along the same lines as that, just moved up a couple of decades and a lot more in depth. And we've got a special chosen, most special chosen of all, by Rachel De La Fuente, comes out March. Right after that, Crimson Fury comes out in March. And then one that Ashley's very close to, Book of Mark by James Masters, comes out in March as well. We've got 4 releases in March. In the Shadow of the House of God by Jeffrey Roberts. This is a book based on the idea that God and the devil are playing chess and using humans as pawns.
I'm intrigued.
Interesting concept. The whole story was really, really good. That'll take you all the way up into March, the end of March. Starting in April, we got a whole new lineup. We have so much coming out in the next couple of months. I know that Burning Willow Press is just overwhelmed with stuff to do right now. We will be shutting down for 2.5 to 3 weeks at the end of December into the first week of March.
Into the first week of March.
Yeah. First week of January. Last 2 weeks of December. First week of January, and that's basically just so we can get caught up.
And to take some time for the holiday, I assume.
What holiday?
Yeah, what holiday?
You know Christmas and I don't get along. That's yours. You read my Santa letter.
I did, and you can read that on the website in the next 25 days because that's what's coming up. It's our 25 days of Christmas, including, which you can get all of the books from Burning Willow Press on our in our store, ShopTBK, tbkmagazine.com/ShopTBK.
I appreciate that. And if you don't want to get them there, please do. you can get them there. And a lot of times you might even save a little money.
And I have not cleared this with you, but I'm hoping soon we can do something huge for Christmas for everybody.
Oh, that's going to be apparent. That's not a problem.
Okay. Because we are doing a crap ton of stuff for Christmas. So, including opening up letters to Santa to you guys, the listeners and the readers, and opening up our Facebook page to your world's worst Christmas gift.
Oh, good Lord. I'd have to go back in time and think on that one.
Whoever tells us, whoever shares the world's worst Christmas gift is going to get a $50 gift card.
I'm going to win this.
Is gonna
I already know what the world's worst Christmas gift was for me.
So whatever your worst Christmas gift is, you have to share it. Hopefully tell the story. Maybe send a photo if you have a photo of it.
I might be able to find something I could take a picture of that would, you know, help in that respect.
So, Ed, thank you.
Thank you for having me.
I know this
on
is...
On behalf of Burning Willow Press, I'm Ed Souter, the executive flunky at Burning Willow Press, which just basically means that Kendra is the boss. She delegates responsibility down the chain, the food chain, and that lands on my desk. And I delegate it to everybody else. So, without further ado, I'm going to hand it back over to Rick and everybody at TBK Magazine. I hope, like hell, I get to see you guys soon. You know, I love you guys. You guys have been more than just friends to me. You guys are like family.
Love you, too. That's our official 80s expert, Ed Souter, or at least the 80s official 80s expert for this show. And he will be back. And I promise you, before Christmas, we are going to have him on to have, hopefully, a very drunken conversation. Are you okay with that?
I like getting drunk. Well, yeah, I can do that. You know, I'm surprised you don't get hate mail for having me on because, you know, I kind of hog the show when I'm on. And
hey, you know what? I hog the show for every other segment. It's okay.
Oh, good.
It's okay. So that is. Thank you, Ed, for joining us, guys. We will see you after the commercial break with more of the most random show on the internet. And after the break, you asked for it. You demanded it. You're getting it.
Well, give the girls a big hug for me. I'll talk to you later, buddy.
I will. Coming up after the commercial, it is Charlie's Name That Tune. We'll be right back with more of the most random show on the internet. Well, at least the most random show from the 80s, TBK Live. Ah, shit. I didn't mean to actually hang up on him.